this story, we wanted to talk to the FDA about its policies and procedures. The agency did agree to talk to us on background where it wouldn't be quoted, but it repeatedly refused our requests for on-camera interviews.
On March 12, 1976, FDA Bureau of Drugs Director Richard Kraut states in the cancer letter, when anyone other than large institutions ask permission to conduct clinical trials, you want harsh regulations. Sometimes we say it is proper to hinder research. And once these guidelines were adopted, the FDA would consider itself bound by them. In 1982, Kraut states again, I never have and never will approve a new drug to an individual, but only to a large pharmaceutical firm with unlimited finances. Before the judge in this case had announced her ruling, the FDA sent her a letter warning her in advance. If this court declines to grant the injunction sought by the government, thus permitting continued manufacture and distribution of antineoplastones, the government would then be obliged to pursue other less efficient remedies, such as actions for seizure, also known as raiding his clinic and home, and condemnation of the drugs, also known as a propaganda campaign, or criminal prosecution of individuals, also known as throwing Dr. Brzezinski in prison.
Hey guys, hey, welcome back to New World Out of Order. Hey, listen, this podcast, we're going to be talking about some stuff in the healthcare industry, more specifically, potential cures for cancer and AIDS, and the suppression of these cures. And this came about from a conversation I had the other night with some people on Google Plus. We were talking about a particular person's relative that was very, very sick. And, of course, the conversation just kind of migrated a little bit towards healthcare and cost and things like that. So I want to first start off talking about some stuff that I've found out a while back on cancer. And it's just one of those things where it's common sense again. You need to just start using common sense. You know, as a society, we are obviously more advanced than we were 5 years ago. And of course, that's not saying much because that's just a inevitable. We'll always be more advanced than we were yesterday. Now, how far advanced are we in relative to, or in regards to, you know, the maximum potential? You know, we have no idea. I really have no idea. But bottom line is, in this technological world, we've advanced a great deal in the past 100 years. And in regards to healthcare, you know, that's also the case. And if you think about two diseases, and I'm going to just concentrate primarily on cancer and AIDS, there is just so much money that's going towards the research for the prevention and cure of both of these illnesses. So just using common sense, it just seems surprising to me. This is what actually spurred my, you know, reason to start looking into it. It just seemed very surprising that after spending all this money, we just don't seem to be gaining any ground whatsoever. I mean, with cancer, as far as prevention of cancer, nothing. I mean, you don't hear anything about that. You never hear about prevention of cancer from, you know, from mainstream media or mainstream medical organizations. What we always hear about is the treatment of cancer. And they're really not treating cancer. They're treating, I guess, the results of cancer. And, you know, the two primary methods for treating cancer is radiation and chemotherapy. And if you really look into those, of course, everybody knows both of those are not good on the body. Those are very, very destructive treatments for anything within the body. They do not discriminate between a good cell, cancerous cell, and a non-cancerous cell. So when you radiate a human body, you're going to be killing good cells as well. Now, I'm actually speaking from a little bit of experience here because I've had cancer, and I elected to go through a specific type of radiation treatment to where I actually had to relocate to Atlanta and live there for about 4 months so that I could actually get daily treatment. And at the time, I thought I did my research, and I did do a lot of research into it, but I was researching it from the standpoint of what are the options for treatment in the, you know, from mainstream medical technology. And that's the standpoint that I did my research from. And based on that, I feel very comfortable that I found probably the best treatment. Well, you know, since then I've looked into some preventions of cancer and also alternative treatments, and this was not a good option. It was definitely not a good option, because the radiation treatments are very, very destructive on cells, and the chemotherapy. Everybody knows that chemotherapy is actual poisoning. You know, it's actually injecting poison up to the limit that the body can withstand, and of course that's supposed to be killing the cancer cells, but it's also killing the good cells as well, and it's also weakening dramatically the immune system. So, but I'm not really going to talk about the negatives about those treatments, but really want to talk about some of the alternative preventions and potential cures that have been found in the area of AIDS and cancer. Specifically with cancer, there's a guy named Dr. Brzezinski out of Houston, and if you're not aware of this guy, I just highly encourage you to do some research. And like anything else that we talk about here, my goal is to bring a topic to your attention that you're not necessarily going to hear from mainstream media. And the purpose of it is to get you interested to where you will go do your own research. So here, following that same guidelines, please go look up Dr. Brzezinski. And there's a movie out there, and I believe you can actually get it. I know you can get it on Netflix, and I believe you can get it, if maybe not in its entirety, but in partial form on YouTube. And it's called Dr. Brzezinski, the movie, I believe, or the cancer movie. Anyway, go ahead and look that up. I think you'll be very surprised. What this movie is about is about a doctor named Stanislaw, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his first name correctly, but Stanislaw Brzezinski. And Mr. Brzezinski, or Dr. Brzezinski, he did a lot of research into what's called antineoplastons, and that is his approach to curing cancer. And he was attacked, and still is being attacked. In fact, I just read just today that they've actually have a new the Texas Medical Board has a new suit against him. They've been trying to wipe him out for about 20 years. And this is what this should anger just everybody, is here's a guy. And through your research of Dr. Brzezinski, hopefully you'll find that you trust the true driving nature of this man. He provides a real sense of trying to really help people, as opposed to just making a name for himself, grabbing headlines and also accumulating wealth. That's just not where he's coming from. And you can, as far as the wealth specifically, you can look at how his research and his treatments and his clinic has been financed. It's financed solely out of his pocket. And we're talking millions of dollars, millions of dollars. He actually has the chemical lab for the creation of these anti-neoplastons in his facility, in his next door to his clinic. He's created his own pharmaceutical company specifically making these things. And of course, the reason he did is because of all the resistance he's gotten from the medical industry and also the FDA. So here it is in a nutshell. Dr. Brzezinski was treating people with great success in various types of cancer. Some cancers are more successful. The treatment of some particular cancers, specific cancers, were more successful than others. And as he states, the treatment or the success of his treatment did depend on whether the patient had received, you know, traditional treatment already. And that is, you know, radiation or chemotherapy, and because it has an effect on, of course, on the body and the immune system. But anyway, that's all in the movie. Check it out. This guy seems to be very legit. Texas Medical Board came down on him very, very hard 20 years ago. Did everything they could to shut him down. They brought multiple lawsuits against him. Tried to take his license away. Then they turned the FDA on him. FDA came down on him extremely hard, took him to court many times, and tried to shut him down. They confiscated all of his medical records at one point. It took him 12 years to get those medical records back. So for one thing, you have to just admire this guy's tenacity. He refuses to give in to this to the corrupt, you know, government nature of, you know, preventing the cure, finding the cure and the actual broadcasting of this to the general public. It's all in the name of big business. And of course, you know, the business of cancer research is just huge. It's, you know, in excess of $100 billion a year is spent in this. So it's a huge area. And if you know, hopefully when you watch this movie, it's going to kind of awaken you a little bit and get you a little bit excited and realize that, you know, if you've ever had anyone in your life that's been affected by cancer, perhaps you've lost a loved one or a friend to cancer. When you watch something like this, it really needs to piss you off. It needs to invigorate you and wake you up and think this is ridiculous. This, you know, my loved one didn't have to die. Start diving into this, and you're going to find so much information out here on the suppression of cancer treatments and cures, and also preventions, that it's just going to amaze you. So anyway, Dr. Stanislaw Brzezinski, I'm a fan. I just think he's just seems to be doing a great job. So highly recommend going out there. I'll put a link to his website. And also, I'll put a link to the YouTube movie, and I think I'll actually have a short clip on my website to where you can see a little excerpt from that movie. And there again, my website is nwo3.com/blog, nwo3.com/blog. And so hopefully you guys will check that out. There's also, and this is actually more widely known, and this is the as far as the for the treatment of cancer and also the prevention of cancer is the Gerson treatment. And Dr. Gerson discovered this treatment for cancer back in the early 1900s, 1920s, 1930s, and of course, you know, Dr. Gerson has since passed away, but his daughter, Charlotte Gerson, has continued, you know, with this, and they're actually fairly widely known. They really are. Of course, they have been prevented from practicing this in the United States, so they've actually had to set up their clinics in Mexico. And anyone who actually goes for the treatments do go to Mexico. Now, the Gerson approach is actually it's a holistic approach. It's all natural. The prevention portion is a special diet. It's not a special diet. It's what we have to really realize is a more correct diet. And also the treatment portion of it is this diet as well. And also there's more intensive toxic cleansing, I guess, that initially goes on. So You know, I'm not an expert on this by any means, but I do like what I've read about it. There is a book, I'm not sure if it's called the Gerson book, but I do have that. I've read that. It makes a lot of sense. The success rate, the statistics that they have are very positive. And the thing is that everything that they promote is all natural. There's nothing in there that's chemical. Now there is some supplements that they do promote, but as far as the origin, where you actually obtain these supplements, that's critical. You know, because a lot of the ones that you find at your normal drugstore are made by offshoots of the big pharmaceutical companies, and there's a lot of just as in most drugs, almost any drug, there's just a lot of chemicals and petrochemical ingredients in there, so that's not good for you. So anyway, they really, really emphasize using the non-toxic, the organic, type of foods, and you're going to look at this and you're going to first say, well, this doesn't sound like anything special. This sounds like just a regular, good common sense diet, really. And I'm not going to argue with that. I think it really is. If you go back and actually look at some of the causes and actually look at some of the trends of our medical problems, and I'm talking about specifically the cancers, the heart disease, the diabetes and stuff, and you look at those statistics over time, and let's just go back, say, 400 years, cancer and diabetes, it's just, the increase in the occurrences of both of those are just staggering, over the years. It's almost like an exponential curve. It's just increasing at such an alarming rate. And if you go back and actually look at a lot of the people who have studied a lot of this, that, the cause can really go back to the foods that we eat. It goes back to the processed foods, anything that's anything that's been enriched and bleached and, treated with a lot of the pesticides and things. With the advent of those type of food manufacturing items or whatever, also it comes, you can, it's corresponding increase in the number of these illnesses. So that's why if you just go look at this diet, it makes a whole lot of sense here. And I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. Now, there's another guy out here, which there's not a lot of information on, which actually makes you think that, for me, it provides a little bit of credibility to the story. Usually the less information that you can find out there, it's because it's being suppressed at a much greater rate, for the reason that it's most likely true. And that is a guy named Dr. Gary Davis. He was from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he supposedly had a cure for cancer, and he's known as the goat serum doctor because what it was is he essentially injected a goat with the AIDS virus, HIV, and then the actual goat somehow, I'm not a medical person, but they're resistant to AIDS, and I guess it's kind of like other animals that you inject with poisons or whatever, and this is how we get a lot of our serums and our antibodies, is that not only are they resistant to it, they actually produce, like I say, an anti or serum against that particular substance or whatever. In this case, the goats were immune to the HIV virus, and they actually produced I don't know if it's an enzyme or whatever that actually combats it. So, Dr. Davis actually went to Africa back in the 1995, 1996, and was treating people in Africa that already had AIDS or HIV or full blown AIDS and pretty advanced stages of AIDS. And according to him, and like I said, there's just not a ton of information out there about him, but he just experienced tremendous success, just unbelievable success. That guy, he's worth looking into. And if you find some really detailed information there, please drop me a line. My email address is on the website, And because I'd definitely like to know more about him as well. And so if you find anything, please pass it along. So anyway, now there again, he was, his treatment was definitely suppressed. It was definitely condemned by the mainstream medical associations here. And you know, there's also a conspiracy rumor out there that his death, you know, was, I guess, maybe perhaps questionable, but I have no information about that, so I'm not even going to talk about it. So, but anyway, just looking at the potential preventions and cures for cancer out there, it's, you're just going to find it astounding. And I think Dr. Brzezinski is just really going to turn your head and make you think, start using some common sense and going like, yeah, wow, you know, this is ridiculous. So surely they've come up with, you know, perhaps not a, maybe not a cure, but they've had to have, you know, gained ground much further than they're actually letting on to. And then now move on to the subject of the HIV and AIDS. I know this is going to be controversial for a lot of people, but the AIDS virus, substantial proof really points to the AIDS virus or the HIV being developed in the United States by the United States government. And there is a substantial proof to that. And one of the things that you can look into, there is actually a patent for the HIV virus. And I'll put that on the website. I'll actually put the patent number. And let's see, I've got the patent number here. I can give to you real quick. The patent number, it's U.S. patent number 5676977. That's 5676977, and that's the patent number. And it was actually granted to a guy named Marvin Antleman, and his and this was back in 1996, and his patent for the cure of cancer has to do with the I'm just going to read the first line here off of the quote. The diamagnetic semiconducting molecular crystal tetrasilver tetroxide. So that's a mouthful. But, you know, a lot of you have heard perhaps of colloidal silver and these colloidal silver generators and things like that. And it's like, what's all that about? Well, there you can look up that stuff. It seems to that type of silver has a lot of advantages for improving our health and keeping our health very in good shape. But that's essentially what this is the tetrasilver tetroxide is the cure. Now, what this, if you look in here, this patent actually built upon other patents. I mean, he had, see, seven other patents that he built upon, and then three additional patents from other people that he actually built upon and referenced in this patent. So it's not just this patent alone that if you're going to look into it, that you might need to look at, you know, to get a good understanding here. But there is definitely a patent out there for this, and it's being suppressed. And now the it was assigned to Antleman Technologies, and which was Marvin Antleman's company, of course. Now there again, this 1996. Why have we not heard about it? You know, go figure. There again, there is a lot of money, billions upon billions of dollars spent every year on the AIDS research. Such a huge industry. If they come out with a cure and a prevention, wow, you just wiped out a whole industry. So, you know, the big business is not going to, they're not going to condone that at all. So I'm going to put a couple of videos out on the website as well, a couple of clips about this that I think you'll find interesting. But go out there and check it out. You know, just all you have to do is just search for AIDS patent or HIV patent, and you'll come up with not only this patent, but information surrounding it as well. So yeah, I think you'll be very, very, very curious, and especially if you know anyone who is affected with AIDS or HIV, please let them know about this, because this, even though the treatment is not available as an approved FDA treatment, It's out there, and you can get it. And so if you know anybody that has AIDS or HIV, please turn them on to this. And of course, they can just dive into, and they can find out where they can get these treatments. And there's you need to really look into this. Now, I've looked into the treatments a little bit, but if I had HIV and I was looking into it to be treated myself, I'm going to say that I've only done maybe 5% of the research that I need to do. I've done enough research to know that there's several different ways, different processes to make this type of tetrasilver tetroxide. And there's a big difference in the effectiveness of it based on the process used to make it. So, definitely check that out. Make sure that you're going the right way. And, perhaps look into the animal technologies and go from the, from the original source here. But, anyway, please pass that along. Check into it. Now, the other thing that's probably going to disturb you a little bit more is that, AIDS, there's a strong body of evidence that AIDS was invented by, the United States government. There's actually a patent on the HIV virus, and it was given to Dr. Robert Gallo in 1984. And of course, now AIDS was actually developed many, many years before 1984. But Dr. Robert Gallo has the patent. This was as a result of his work with the U.S. Special Virus Program, which was part of a U.S. government program that existed from like 1962 until 1978. And it was part of the bioweaponry. Program of bioweapons research and manufacture back then. And of course, it was very big back then. And if you look at these programs such as this U.S. Special Virus Program, it was closed down in 1978. If you think that our research and production of bioweapons has stopped then or has stopped since, you're just kidding yourself. They're definitely being researched heavily. And being manufactured heavily as well, and also being used heavily, because we use bioweapons, biochemical weapons in Iraq. We use it in the first Gulf War. I had a friend that died from it. A friend of mine appeared before Congress and a special hearing, discussing this. And he was a guy named Randy Hebert. But he passed away from that from the results of this. But anyway, kind of getting off topic there just a little bit. Now if you can go out and check out the invention of AIDS, and if you I'm gonna put these links on the website that you can look into. Now there's a flow chart that probably one of the most incriminating pieces of evidence that should kind of grab your eye is the flow chart for the research logic for this development. And I will put a link to this flow chart, and I will probably put a copy on the webpage, but also put a link to the flow chart out there. Now when you look at the flow chart, it's very involved, it's very busy. If you're not a medical research person, you're probably not going to understand most of it. But if you go out there and look at the people who do understand it from both sides, this is essentially the development of the HIV virus. It doesn't say on there it's the HIV virus. It does say that it's the U.S. Special Virus Program's flow chart. But everybody if you go out and research it, the people in the know look at it and say, that's the AIDS virus. And so anyway, there's a lot of additional information on what essentially the U.S. efforts towards, bioengineering for biochemicals, for viruses and things like that. There's a lot of information on the history of that. That is pretty surprising. And like I said, I also put that on the website because it goes back many, many years. And this it actually provides a real foundation for understanding the capabilities and the motives for actually creating the AIDS virus. So if you just look at the AIDS virus itself and that the government, supposedly created the AIDS virus and, if that's your first venture into this, you're probably going to look at it and say, well, nah, I don't understand. That doesn't make any sense. Well, if you go back and look at the whole thing, the big picture, you know, then you'll see that, you know, this was definitely could have been done intentionally. And it looks like it was. And I'll go as far as saying I'm convinced that it was definitely done by our government or U.S. research institutes. Not only the AIDS virus, but the majority of the flus that have been out there. Definitely a lot of there's just definitely a lot of evidence that report that suggests that these were created on purpose. So I know that's alarming to people, but you know, if you go back and look at the Illuminati again, I'm going to concentrate on like the Bilderberg group right now because of just the admissions of these people towards population control. And you know, their stance on population control or reduction is that they don't hide it. Now, the reasons that they promote it, they do alter. They promote it for from a natural resource perspective. And we all have to understand, eventually, that's definitely an issue. In other words, the Earth, with its the resources that we require for to sustain life, is a finite amount of resources. And we're at one point, we will get to the point of a population peak to where the Earth can't support anymore. But, you know, my personal opinion, and there again, this is not a fact, this is just my personal opinion right now, is that we're a long way from that. But I think that if we're thinking along those lines, what we need to really think about right now is the resource management more than the population reduction. Okay, now they talk about population control, and they do actually talk about population reduction. Now, the real thing is, and what's come out of some of the Bilderberg meetings, early 90s, or actually, take that back, this actually goes back to the 1960s Bilderberg meetings, where it was agreed by the Bilderberg groups that the manageable portion, the manageable size of the population of Earth was going to be around 500 million, half a billion people. Well, that is a substantial reduction in population from today's, you know, current level. So if you look into a lot of the statements by Kissinger, by Rockefeller himself, and unfortunately even Bill Gates, unfortunately. Bill Gates has been an attendee of the Bilderberg meetings for, I think, the past 2 to 3 years. And there again, he's promoting population control, and you know, he very well could be promoting population control for the right reasons. Okay. But unfortunately he's doing it in the company of the people who are doing it for the wrong reasons. And you know, which we know and has been stated and has been proven. So, anyway, you can just go out there and look at their efforts for population control and their methods for doing it. A lot of their methods are with, you know, the bioweapons. They create the diseases which will knock out people. And they're so far advanced now that they can actually create specific viruses that will target a specific type of a person and specific parts of a person. That's how advanced they supposedly are. In other words, they can have viruses that attack black people and not non-blacks, and they can have a virus that attacks just certain parts of the body, which that's not far-fetched at all. So anyway, you know, check this out. Don't be alarmed by it, and don't write it off as, you know, just, oh, this is just a bunch of crap. So if you eventually feel that way, that's fine. I have no problem with that. But you need to go out there and look into this, okay? I think you're going to be thoroughly convinced that there's plenty of evidence out there that we do have a cure for cancer. If not, if you can't prove to yourself that it's 100% cure, and I'm not saying that I can, but it's at least an 85 to 95% cure based on Dr. Brzezinski's studies, and also is about 90% in Dr. Gary Davis's studies as well. And then also, if you'll be able to convince yourself very easily if you look into it that HIV was designed and manufactured here in the United States by a government program, and that the cure for AIDS is patented, as well as the AIDS virus itself is patented, so that you know, the cure of AIDS is out there. It's been suppressed. And of course, you can all understand that. Now, to be able to understand that, you need to put it in the big picture as far as, the money-making portion. This all goes back to the money. And this is what's really so unfortunate with our society, is that money is just drives everything in our society. And if anybody can actually stop and imagine a world, okay, and this is, again, we can all dream, we can all imagine, doesn't hurt anything, and that's how actually, new ideas get started and new technologies get going. So don't be afraid to do this, okay? Just stop and try to imagine, and it's very difficult to do, a world without money, okay? If you look at any kind of a problem, a confrontation, or whatever, you can usually boil it down to money. Money pits man against man. Okay, if you're in your work situation, you're looking to get promoted. That's a money situation usually. You're trying to obtain a higher salary. So it causes the competition from person to person. It causes the animosity from one person to another. If you find out someone else is making more money than you, if somebody has more money than you and they can afford to buy things more than you, and of course the biggest thing is the suppression of technology, such as in healthcare that we're talking about today. The suppression of technology is, all technology. It doesn't matter any area. Of course, the big areas are healthcare and energy, and those two areas have been suppressed dramatically. And it's all for the reason of money. It's money in control, but it's primarily money. Of course, everybody's known, a long time ago about reading about a certain car that came out. It's like, well, how come they didn't come out with, essentially the turbocharger before? How come they didn't come out with, whatever, this type of transmission before or whatever? Well, it's simply because it's not that they didn't have the capabilities. It's not that they didn't have the design. There's actually a planned progression towards cars. If you look at a particular model of a car from one year to the next, the very, very slight changes, and people are going like, well, that's kind of a slight change. And then all of a sudden they have a large change. Well, they had that large change years ago. But there again, they milk it. You have to milk it in order to maximize the amount of money that you make on a certain product. If you have this great evolutionary step in a product or product line, then the bean counters are going to shoot you down right away because you're missing out on the potential to make so much money in the gradual controlled evolution of that product. So, and there again, that pertains to anything in business. And so it's unfortunate, but if you can imagine a world without money, and there again, I'm not saying this from a practical standpoint. I'm not saying it from, I'm just saying experimental, just from a visionary standpoint, just imagine it. If we're the sole purpose of our efforts in life are to enhance the quality of life and, through technology. And when I say technology, and if you watch the Zeitgeist movie, the technology is a pencil. Anything that didn't exist before that enhances the quality of life or whatever, that's technology. It's not just electronics. So any part of technology. So if there was no money, and there was no, essentially there was no incentive for a person or any organization to try to conspire against another one or suppress another one, okay, for their own gains, then what you're going to have is you're going to have the whole society working towards the common benefit of man. And it just makes a lot of sense. And I think if people, and there are people out there that have done this, but if we get people really concentrated on this, and they're, let's say, I'm not saying that the answer is, you know, eliminating money from society. It very well could be, but I'm not saying that. But if you get people actually looking at, you know, a society and enough people involved in it with a, creating a society that actually benefits man, and you know, it's just it's very fun to think about, and the possibilities are unbelievable. The technological advancements experienced would be unbelievable. Would be absolutely unbelievable, because everything that you we find in our lives today, such as anything. You know, you have all these, say, car accidents and deaths from car accidents. And see, now the majority of this, I won't say all, but I'm going to say eventually all can be prevented. And, you know, it's right now we try to prevent a lot of this stuff. We try to control it or reduce a lot of things in society by creating laws. and that's well and good. It's an effort, but it's not. You know, it's not the right way. I don't believe we could actually use, you know, technology if we were driven, you know, for the right reasons. We could actually use technology to prevent these things, you know, from happening. Anyway, I know I'm kind of getting off subject here, but it's just something else to think about when you look at the whole big picture of a lot of the things that I've been talking about and what's really going on in the world. It's all driven by the bankers. It's all driven by, you know, the bankers who have control of the major corporations and allow them to profit and to control society as they do. If you look at all of that and really start getting a good understanding of it, then you have to realize that there's other possibilities out here. The way that we live today, the way our society is it's people say, well, that's just the way it is. Well, it doesn't. That is the way it is, but it's not the way it has to be. It's this way because it was made to be this way, either by design or natural evolution of society, okay? And if it just evolved this way without any sort of design or any sort of, you know, target in mind, any sort of goal, then that wasn't very well thought out. And you know that's not the case. We are where we are today because this is where we are supposed to be based on man. I mean, this is where we are having an economic crisis because man wanted an economic crisis. The bankers wanted an economic crisis. So anyway, I know I'm kind of getting off track here a little bit, but I just want everybody to, you know, open up a little bit, start thinking outside the box. I know, you know, don't you hate that expression, but you just, you know, don't allow the mainstream media just to really continue to control how you think about things, you know. The way things are don't have to be that way if you don't want them that way. So, and if we can get enough people to realize that and to get enough of the people that are really genuinely concerned and motivated towards, you know, helping just man, the advancement of man and the advancement of quality of life, not only of man, but like I say, of everything. You know, you have to also be a resource management person as well. So I hate to call it an environmentalist because people, you know, term you to be a certain way, but you have to be able to manage the resources here on the planet so that you can, reach that goal of having a society that's actually, looking out for the advancement of, the quality of life for man. So, okay, guys, I know I'm kind of ranting here a little bit, but, go out there and check out, what we've talked about here. I was going to talk a little bit about, diabetes, but, we all know diabetes, how it's inflated, just dramatically over a few years. And, you know, if people just watch their intake of the, processed foods, you know, a lot of the starches and, you know, the breads and the pastas and things like that, all of the things that are processed, bleached, and things like that, go towards the natural type stuff. It's not a problem. And then, of course, in moderation as well. But anyway, wrap it up. Dr. Burzynski, Burzynski. Check him out. You're going to be pleasantly surprised by this, and hopefully you're going to be encouraged. You're going to be very, very encouraged. Also, the Gerson Institute, check those guys out. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised there. How long that effort has been going on and how successful it's been. And there again, how it's suppressed and how they're actually, you know, been attacked by the FDA and the medical, you know, institute of our society. And they've been pushed out and not allowed to practice here. So, and then also look at the patents for the creation of AIDS and also the cure for AIDS. And there again, those will, links to these will be on the website, nwo3.com/blog. nwo3.com/blog. My email is on there as well. Please email me with any of your thoughts. And listen, hey, glad you guys joined us today. Take care.